Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The following is a production of Dirty Mo Media.
Oh, just on time. We spilt the beer.
Almost.
Oh, it wasn't cracked yet, was it?
No.
All right. Boy, look at this. Good deal. That thing would have spewed live on YouTube. We'd have cut a video for that one.
We sure would have.
Hey, everybody. It's Mike Davis. How are you doing? We've got Travis Rockhold here, producer of Actions Detrimental, by the way. I think I want to hear what he
has
to
say. Not by accident. Is he here?
Right. And then we've got our head of content, Tiff Powers, which, by the way, these are the two people I blame for all the problems this week. All the problems.
You're welcome.
No, I'm playing about that. Listen, obviously today around noon, the news came out that NASCAR was levying a fine, a hefty fine, $50,000 fine against Denny Hamlin for what he did in the Sunday race. But kind of what he said, right, on a podcast. This is the big debate. And this is also why I'm getting a lot of texts today saying, hey, Mike, are you going to pay for Denny's fine? And hey, Mike, are you going to do this? And hey, are you responsible for this? And these are all funny. I like them. But I also feel like we have a responsibility also to come here and talk. This is why we made Dirty Mo Live, so we could react to news. Didn't really think the news was going to be coming from one of our shows, I got to be honest. But this is what this show is for us to be able to react quickly. By the way, tomorrow, Dale Jr. is back in town. We're coming in here to do the Dale Jr. download for the Thursday episode. So you won't want to miss that, because really the opinion that matters is from the boss man himself. And so the download, you're going to want to catch it. You're also going to want to catch the download today, because we started a series. He started the business of motorsports. Didn't even think about discussing, you know, fines and penalties, but maybe that's next.
That's part two.
But Kelly Earnhardt Miller joined me for today's episode. That drops here momentarily if it hasn't already.
Yep.
Okay. So look forward to that. Dale's in the house tomorrow. Obviously, we're going to still be reacting to the Denny Hamlin news of getting fined. Also, I mean, listen, Denny wasn't the only one that got his hand slapped today. I mean, Hendrick Motorsports got a pretty good
penalty.
One. Yep. So, but we're not here to discuss the Hendrick Motorsports. We are here to discuss our own Denny Hamlin. Now, I have really had to think about this. Dale and I did talk about this a little bit on the download on Tuesday. Now, Dale was on vacation. He was on Zoom, but we did talk about this, and you know, I was still sort of formulating my opinion about things, and just try to summarize it. It was more or less like, look, I really don't want to discourage our drivers and our few outspoken drivers from speaking their mind. My gosh, our sport feels depleted of that. I don't want to go further discouraging it. So at the time, we didn't know if there would be a penalty or not, but we knew that Denny's comments on Monday's Actions Detrimental with Denny Hamlin were, you know, hard in the paint, said what he said. Dale and I were reacting to it the way you probably were reacting to it. And so that was Tuesday's episode of the download. And then obviously today, the fine comes out, and it's $50,000. Travis, we should do the right thing by saying what exactly NASCAR's statement on this was, don't you think?
Yes, here it is.
All right, let's be very fair. I want to be very fair.
When you look this past weekend, we would have viewed this as a racing incident, but then 24 hours later, to have a competitor that has gone on a podcast, you start admitting that you have intentionally done something that would compromise the results of the end of the race. That then rises to the level that we're going to get involved.
Okay. And who is that attributed to?
That was Elton Sawyer.
That's Elton Sawyer. Okay. And was that a statement that they sent out, or was that an interview?
That wasn't an interview. He did an on-camera, I believe on-camera statement. I don't know if he took questions.
Yeah. Okay. So, listen, I think I'm correct in saying basically they were not going to do anything, but then when Denny said what he said on the podcast, therefore they had no choice but to act. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know that I have a problem with that.
I do.
You have a problem with
that? I do.
Okay.
So if you're watching the incident on Sunday and nothing comes to you, don't everything that you watched was fine, what's it matter what is said afterwards?
Well, no. I guess I am with you on that, and I'm gonna elaborate on that point in a second. I think that sets up an optics situation, which NASCAR may not care about what we think is optically bad or optically good. I get it. Listen, I'm gonna be very clear about a couple things. One is, I think that any of you guys out there that have an adverse opinion about what Denny did to Ross Chastain, you are absolutely well within your right to have that opinion. No, I'm not even going to try to convince you otherwise, frankly. I don't necessarily agree that it was that egregious.
Yeah.
Both cars did drive back to the garage. Let's be clear. Both days were compromised. Both finishes. There was good top 10 finishes. I mean, it's not like Denny did it to somebody, wrecked him. They had to put it on a tow truck and all this stuff. It was not Bubba and Kyle Larson's incident from last year.
Right.
Where there was this, malicious intent to really just not just end a day, but to end the race for a competitor. It's not what happened here. Okay. That's not what happened. What did happen was that Denny squeezed Ross into the fence and ruined his good finish. And that is fair. And you can have a problem with that. That is fine. That's not my issue. Okay. I'll get to my issue in a second. I want to say the second thing. NASCAR is absolutely well within its right to govern the sport how it sees fit. Okay. We don't have to love it. We don't have to agree with it. But I also am of the belief, and I'm trying to be consistent here, that drivers don't really police themselves the way humans don't police themselves. We all require laws, don't we?
Yep.
And we also want to know where the edge is. We always go skirt with that. And these teams, not just drivers, but teams, any of us, it's human nature to want to find the boundaries and see what we can get away with and also play within the law, but also want to know what it is. I mean, and so we can't police ourselves because we're always going to go flirt with that edge. And if there's no edge, well, we're a detriment to ourselves. And so I go back to NASCAR going, is it well within its right to govern the sport as it sees fit? Absolutely. Or else it would be a demolition derby, right? It would be a blood sport. It would be, I watch those roller derby clips where those things are
I love watching roller derby.
Yeah, I mean, they're insane. That's what our sport would be. And NASCAR has a lot of reasons to not let it become that.
Right.
So you must have rules and you must be able to at times make judgment calls on things that are not clear. Again, I think they're well within their right to make judgment calls. Now, Dale Jr. doesn't like that. Dale Jr. and I have had this debate on the download where it's like, he's like, I just don't like the judgment calls. I just want it to be plain and simple, black and white.
It'll never happen.
Never happen.
But that's asking for something that's an impossibility, in my opinion.
Yep.
Everything requires a judgment call. I do think a judgment call was made in this case.
Yes.
I think the judgment call was that it was a racing incident. Why do I think that? Because nobody said anything after the race.
They said it in the statement.
And they said it in the statement. The cars drove back to the garage. They finished the race. There was nothing egregious that in the moment they said, oh, we must consider if this is a violation of our rules.
Right.
So what they're saying is, and I think this is to your point, what they're saying today is that because of the rules of the, or because of the comments made on a podcast, we have no choice but to act. I think that's a dangerous precedent.
Yes.
I do. And here's why. What you're essentially saying is that you require help to govern your sport, not just help, but you require the rule violators, and I'll use that in quotes.
Yeah, yeah.
We need the rule violators to come to us and admit the rules they violated.
Right.
When, where, and how they violated them, so that we can then levy the punishments.
Right.
How's that going to work out in a long-term game? Now, that's just, I just think that that's
does that open it up for every time you dump somebody if you're like, oopsies. Sorry. Now they can't not penalize you?
Like, I mean, it's... Right. And the answer to that is no. No. NASCAR still can make a judgment.
Of course.
But in this case, I just think that it does feel like they're punishing somebody for being honest on a podcast, hence where I have a problem. Now, I want to say something. I'm getting a few tweets, and I'm going to read a few of them to you, okay? This is the things that I think are dangerous. When I have people tweet at me like, you know good and well the issue was Denny not keeping his mouth shut. Is Denny or any driver keeping their mouth shut really what we want, guys? Is it really what we want? Do we want our drivers, the few that actually speak their mind, find me more than three of them, frankly. Go ahead. More than three drivers that actually openly speak their mind and own their flaws and to a fault. Name me more than three. You can't do it. You cannot do it. Maybe you can name them all the time. Daryl Waltrip, you know. You can come up with some people. But today's sport lacks personalities and people to just give it to us straight. And there's reasons why. And this is one of them. Because they will get a $50,000 fine if they are honest about stuff. And listen, I'm just going to die on this hill. I'm going to die on the hill that a sports entertainment property must have sports entertainers. And the entertainers come in the form of how they act, what they say, what they do, and if they win. And by the way, this is exactly what I love about Denny Hamlin. It's why we went to Denny Hamlin and said, we would like to do a podcast with you. Because you are the one person who is not afraid to tell it how it is, even at your own detriment. Even at your own detriment. He's the one person that is not afraid to do that.
Yep.
But that does not mean that he will always be that way. It does not mean that one day something will just have happened, maybe like today. And he's just like, you know, it's just not worth it.
Yep.
And so when you come at me and you say, you know good and well the issue is Denny not keeping his mouth shut, you know, or, you know, another guy an hour ago says, it's one thing to do it. It's entirely different to admit it while trying to appear hard. Surely you see the difference, Mike Davis. I see the difference. You know what else? I am not in agreement with you. I think that I want them. I see that there's a difference, and I like them coming with their full admissions. That's what I'm trying to say. If you don't see the difference, or if you don't see the problem with trying to censor or cancel or discourage drivers from telling us, the viewers, what we saw on the racetrack on Sunday that we can't see for ourselves, then we all lose. Our sport got weaker. That's how I feel. Maybe you feel different, but that's how I feel. And so where I net out on this is that, listen, I'm going to admit my bias. I'm going to be pro Denny. I'm drinking a Coca-Cola, not because I needed a Coca-Cola. By God, it's one of Denny's sponsors. And I'm drinking a Coca-Cola for Denny.
If Denny had a beer sponsor, I would do it for him.
Right,
too.
We wish you did. But the fact of the matter is that I am really supporting a driver's ability to shoot us straight without recourse or repercussions and give us the honest thing. And I'm also for NASCAR governing its sport, but they governed it on Sunday and they did not find a problem with what they did.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
That's where my problem comes in. And this is still walking that line, you know, like if a driver gets right out of his car after the race and said, yeah, I did that on purpose. Well, it's still Sunday. It's right after the race. If you're trying to make that call and you're still talking about it and you want to penalize them for that, maybe I'm okay with that. But like, where does it run out? Had this podcast come out on Thursday after the penalties from this week, are we still getting, is Denny still getting a fine and a points penalty? If it comes out next week that he admits it, are they going back and penalizing him for this past race?
Right.
If he admits it at the end of the year,
right.
Like at what point now does it run out where you're allowed to admit to doing something?
Yeah, and so here's what's going to happen. Denny's not just never going to say that anyway. Of course he's not going to say it.
Right.
And by the way, I'm also going to tell, and I said this to Denny, I thought he framed it up wrong.
Yeah.
Because you would have to listen to the whole podcast to understand that this thing ended well.
Right.
And it ended with Ross saying, I deserved that. So Ross did something to deserve it that Ross himself admitted.
Right.
But that's not what Denny started with. Denny started with, I was about to have a bad day and I was going to make sure he did
take
too.
Take him with me.
He just didn't give us what happened.
You're coming with me, buddy.
Yeah. He's like, coming with me, buddy. He just didn't give us, you know.
I almost made that the title of the podcast.
You're coming with me, buddy?
Yeah.
It would have been great title.
What I'm trying to say is that Denny just didn't get produced well. No, I
mean, blame the people that hired the producer.
No, I got it. I'm saying you're right. I think that he could have framed that up better, but I think that if you listen to the whole podcast and then you realize that there was something that, you know, caused that. They got into it. Denny did what he did. And there you go. Now, I will also give you guys this. How is what Denny did on Sunday at Phoenix different than what Joey Logano did at Darlington to William Byron?
Right.
It's the exact.
William Byron got put into the wall on the last lap. Was it last lap? I think it was last lap.
It was, yep.
For the win, Joey Logano won it. Afterwards, Joey's interview, he said,
that's how it works.
No, he said,
you're not going to put me in the wall and not get anything
and
back.
Not get anything back. So what he said was, you're not going to go put me in the wall and not get it back. And so what he did is he got it back. He is admitting retaliation.
Yeah.
He is admitting intent to go put somebody in the wall. And yet, no fine levied, no penalty. He even kept his win.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if that's too different. I just don't. I would like to see, maybe it was even more egregious. I don't know if William Byron even was able to limp his car back around. I don't remember if he ended up on a rollback.
Well, that's where I have the clash. There was clear incidents where drivers were wrecking other drivers. Afterwards, nobody said they did on purpose, but it is clear as day, and nobody, and I get it's an exhibition race, but NASCAR didn't do like anything. They just let it go.
Have at it, boys, has been a thing people have said. Now listen, and that's fine, but it's like, you know, it's almost like I'm getting my intelligence insulted. I feel like as a race fan, and I am a fan of this sport, I'm a lifelong fan of this sport, and I will always be a fan of this sport, but as a race fan, am I supposed to watch a race, watch another car get into another car and be like, accident every time? It's just an accident. Right. Unless they say it wasn't. If they tell me it was on purpose, then that's the only way I will believe it was on purpose. Otherwise, these are all just, you know, manner-minded drivers, just, you know, just wrong place, wrong time.
Right. They just don't have car control sometimes.
Is there intent to move around? Is there intent to root and gouge? Is there intent to spin somebody out? We're going to go to Martinsville soon.
Right.
Are we going to just hand out $50,000 fines like candy? Well, no, because nobody's going to be dumb enough to go sit there and say, I did it. Certainly not now.
Right.
Well, so that's
the
other thing.
The fact of the matter is that do you not feel like your intelligence is a little bit insulted? Because it's like, again, in the statement is like, well, it's not because not until he said it on a podcast did we think that we had to act. Okay, fine. But boy, what a box, a can of worms that does that open up?
You've now silenced your drivers. After anybody that does it going forward this year, they're not going to come out and say it because they know now. Yeah. You say it like you're, well, we'll see.
Listen, I don't envy NASCAR's job at policing these guys. God, right. I'm not saying I'd be any better at it. This is the difference between me and maybe Brett and Freddie and TJ. Right. They think they have the answers for the sport. I'm not saying I do. I am saying I just am never going to be okay with people trying to dampen the brightness of our stars.
And I think part of it in this situation that still bugs me is that, like, Ross and Denny were fine after they, like, agreed to a truce. Like, it was clearly handled, ended, everyone was fine.
Yeah.
So if there wasn't that truce, would it change how you view it?
Well, hold up one second. I mean, I'll answer your question. Yeah. We are just taking Denny's word for it.
Right.
Ross may not actually agree with that, for all we know. I mean, Ross may have said, hey, he might think it ended well, but I still hate the guy. Whatever.
Ross, if you still hate him, you can come on the podcast.
Right. By the way, and again, I am of the position, and I said this on Tuesday on the download, that I am for Denny and Ross not pretending to be friends and not having a truce. I don't want it. I want them to continue having a rivalry. Why? Because it's entertaining for me. I'm a fan. I don't want to shut them up. I don't want them to act a certain way. I want them to hate each other. I want them to continue to be a magnet. Every time you see Denny, you see Ross. They can't get out of each other's way. Just like Earnhardt and Bodine back in the days. That's what I'm for. Sue me. Okay? Fine. I want to be entertained. If some of you don't, that's your life. Can't figure out why you want to shut people up or why you don't want to see people getting after it and you know, getting moments of rage and moments of, I get it. I understand. But that's just not me. I want to see them. I want them to be safe. I do want them to be safe. Bubba crossed the line last year.
Right.
I thought Bubba crossed the line.
Definitely across the line.
He literally jeopardized Kyle Larson's safety.
Yep.
But that ain't what happened Sunday.
Right.
That just isn't. So.
And remember how anytime there was a problem that NASCAR felt like they might need to get involved into, you'd get called to the hauler? Like, do we not do that anymore? Could they not have called them to – I mean, they were saying they were fine with it after Sunday until he admitted it. But, like, if there's something questionable –
right.
Do we not do that and talk about it? And then if he says, oh, it was an accident, and then comes out the next day and says it wasn't, like, maybe that's more justification for a fine. I don't know.
You know, I saw somebody ask me on text, not on social media, that if Denny didn't do a podcast for Dirty Mo Media, would I feel the same way? And I got to be honest, I'd like to think that I would, because I'm an absolutist when it comes to the freedom of speech, the ability to speak your mind, and to also do it without fear of, you know, cancellation, fear of,
punishment.
I am just that way. Listen, we are building a platform where a diversity of opinions is okay.
Right.
It's okay. I don't agree with everything Dirty Door Bumper Clear says. In fact, I disagree with him a lot. I don't even agree with everything Dale Jr. says. I actually look forward to opportunities where we disagree. But that's okay. I'm not threatened by that. I like the conversations of different vantage points and different opinions and the ability, and I hope that we are giving our host and Denny just being one of them the, you know, the confidence that they can speak their mind and not get in trouble. Now, in this case, it's out of our hands. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, I that's the platform. Because I don't like how I don't like playing by a specific set of rules where people have to say the same thing, say the same message, or not say anything at all, and it be okay. I'm not one to pretend like that's okay. That's not okay. It's not okay for me. I don't like that. And I'm okay. I'm confident enough to be surrounded by people that disagree with my thoughts or something like that. It's okay.
Right.
But in this case, I do feel a little guilty that Denny's getting a $50,000 fine. I did text Denny after our show on Tuesday just saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Could we have done anything different? You want me to fire Travis? I'll be happy to.
Yeah. Do I? I don't.
He's going to be leaving for the Masters in a few weeks. We'll have to replace him anyways.
I don't have any suspension or fines, though. Do I? I'm good.
Well, I think you do have to atone for something.
Right.
Ooh, I don't know what.
That's good. Yeah, we'll have to figure that out.
We have to figure something out. Yeah. What does Travis have to do to atone for this? I mean, like
maybe he's got to eat something.
Would you be able to eat like 5 boxes of donuts? Dozen each. 60 donuts.
No.
In an hour.
No. Not 60.
A donut for every point.
What about a keg stand?
I'll do a keg stand.
For a minute.
It's been a while, so we'd have to see.
Not cumulative. All at once.
What happens if I fail?
Do it again.
Yep.
Yeah, then right. You have not atoned.
So back to Denny though for a second. Now not that it matters in the eyes of NASCAR and their handling, but I do appreciate his honesty of like, you know, I tried to, you know, take Ross out, but I also messed up too. And like he called himself out for like he was honest completely about the entire incident. It wasn't like he was honest about a little bit of it or this like
and trying to make himself look better.
Yeah, no, he called himself out. Like it was like
because that's what Denny is on this podcast. Right. He is he's full honest to a fault. Yep. He's going to call himself out. He's going to call other people out. And that's what I love about it. And why would you want to discourage that? You race fans that sit there and step at Denny on social media and just say, you just can't keep your mouth shut. I will never understand why people think that that's okay.
And to be fair,
Dustin wants a beer.
We knew, like, this has come up before, right? I remember Dale talking about it on the download when y'all were discussing it after William Byron last year. He said if William, you know, hadn't gotten out of the car and said what he said, right, to try to sound strong, he wouldn't have gotten in trouble. So it's not like this is a new thing. But again, that's where I go to like, what's the statute of limitations? Like, this is no longer race day.
Well, so to answer,
we called the race. The race is over.
To answer your question,
and then he's talking about it later.
In 2019, Bubba Wallace was fined 6 days later after an incident.
Yeah.
So NASCAR has shown that they're willing to stretch it out. Now I'm curious.
What was that situation, by the way? Do we know?
I'd have to find the article again.
Again, I mean, I get the point. Listen, I'm of the same mind on that. But again, at the same time, I'm sure that there are examples that could come up where I would be like, oh, yeah, you do have to sort of be able to levy a fine after some
time for something.
Yeah. If somebody is, I mean, let's take the most extreme case of this. If I've told, said, Tiff, guess what? I killed somebody the other day and I meant to. Because they pissed me off.
That would be really problematic for me,
listen,
right?
You know what? It's as much a crime today as it was the day when I did it.
Sure is.
And you know what? I should not be surprised when the police show up at my door and say, you're under arrest.
Yep. Once I get myself to a safe spot, that's my first call.
So, okay. So that I told you that was the most extreme example. But my point is that surely I can come up with some if I give it a second of thought of where NASCAR should have that right. Again, but I don't think
this wasn't that extreme.
I just don't think that was it. I'm sorry.
Bubba in 2019 was $50,000 for intentionally spinning at Texas, is what the ruling was.
To bring out a caution.
Just also so you know, felony crimes have no statute of limitations in North Carolina. So.
Got it.
Good to know.
Well, then I can't tell you what I really wanted to say. all right. So
Oh, so back to my question, though.
Well, I mean, Andrew just said it. I mean, like, spinning yourself out, admitting that you caused a caution. Do you have an opinion?
The caution does change it. I think
the caution changes.
Yeah,
the caution
that's
changes
a good point.
It.
Yeah, that's yeah.
It changes everything for everybody, frankly.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
By the way, we should say, speaking of that, Freddie Kraft had the tweet of the day.
He definitely did. I
Andrew,
loved
do you
it
have
so
that?
Much.
Let me find it. Find Freddie Kraft's tweet.
It was the points day one.
Freddie Kraft, who is the spotter for Bubba Wallace, he's basically reacting to the fact that a whole bunch of teams got penalized.
I mean,
today.
Yeah.
He said, didn't get the win today, but it was a solid points day for the 23.
Such an underrated tweet. Yeah, that was great. When I saw it, I immediately started laughing.
That's good, and he's right. Yeah, it's a solid point
solid
day for the 23 and others.
A
others,
a
others
lot of
had
other
a
cards.
Really
Did you
good...
see Chase Elliott moved up a few spots in points? He because of all the Hendrick penalties, he went from like 29th to 26th.
Yeah.
That's a good point, Dave, for somebody that's on the mend. Also, who was it that told me about the Justin Haley point situation?
He's in the negatives.
What is his points?
I think Travis, you said negative 40 or something
negative
like 40.
That.
So it'll be a big day when he gets back into the positives.
Wow.
We'll have to make a note of it.
Is that really true, though?
Yes, it was on an article. An NBC article.
I saw it somewhere, too. I couldn't remember the number.
Okay.
But.
So back to my question, though.
Okay, go back to your question.
So after this, let's say that Denny and Ross do not squash it. Does that impact how you view it? If Ross is pissed off after the race and voicing his displeasure.
How I view the penalty?
Yeah, instead of Denny saying, we talk,
no,
there's a truce.
No. If a pissed off driver affected all of my thoughts about how a race should be governed, then I mean, to what end is that, right? I mean, like, no, I like pissed off drivers.
I think the only argument there is we're talking about like the level of on track incident maybe that warrants a penalty. So like maybe
right.
It comes into play there. Like for Ross to be pissed off, you know, if Denny had fully like stuffed him into the fence, we probably wouldn't be defending Denny as hard today. You know, if it was like a truly egregious wreck, we would not be trying to say, oh, we don't know why he got a penalty.
I agree with that, but I also wouldn't need Denny to tell me on Monday
right.
It's actually detrimental that he did it on purpose.
Right.
Because
it was obvious. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the line for me. Like, if you do it, and I'm not really sure, maybe that doesn't warrant a penalty. If you do it, and I'm sure you did it on purpose,
yeah.
Even though you say, hands came off the wheel,
see,
my bad.
See,
then,
and that's
like,
the case with this, is a lot of people weren't sure.
I almost would have liked, I would have liked to have seen NASCAR at least just say, Denny's penalty is because he crossed a line and did something that in our judgment on Sunday, you know, was not okay
right.
Or just bad driving. Like, okay. If he didn't do it on purpose, he needs to be penalized because he needs to go,
he needs money to go to
driving school because he clearly can't get around the track or go around the last lap of Phoenix without taking out, another car.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is. That's, I like this, Andrew. So then I would be like, okay, we can agree or disagree with that, but the fact of the matter is that to go and say after he told us that he did this on purpose, well, we must now go act. All right. I think we lost a little bit of luster with our drivers being
yeah.
fully
like I part of me can understand NASCAR's position on that. Like,
I can.
If you're daring us to act, I guess we will. But that's also, right. You're, gosh, if these guys can't be honest about what they're doing on the racetrack, we are losing so much in
you're silencing your drivers, and you're right. All this content that you're going to get, and you know, you look at, you know, like F1 and their rise, it's because these drivers say some things and the owners say some things that they allow on camera, and, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not sitting here talking about how boring Phoenix was right now.
Right.
But
without that last lap.
Right.
It's, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see.
The last couple of cautions helped it too, but.
I am eager to hear what Dale has to say. I'm not going to have a conversation with him before we do our show tomorrow. If he tries to have a conversation with me, I'm going to block him. I'm going to hang up on him because I want to hear what Dale Jr. has to say on the download tomorrow. We will be in here. I hope that you guys join us. I don't know if it's even worth asking about the chat, but Andrew, I'll give one shot at it.
Yeah, there was someone who, like, the same person just kept commenting, "Hallelujah, Mike," and I think that summed up a lot of people's thoughts.
My wife. My wife is watching today. Good, thank you. Well, listen, I appreciate everybody. Thank you. Hey, let's fight the good fight. Let's support our platform and our hosts and the people that you know, give us their full admissions. Whether you agree or disagree, that's where I stand. I ask that you do the same thing. Be careful when you go, you know, if you step at a driver on social media, they're big boys. They can handle it, but just be careful that you're not discouraging them.
Be careful about telling them to be quiet.
Yes.
That's
what
we're asking.
Don't tell them to be quiet. Yep. Do we want that? I don't.
No.
I do not want that. I want them to.
We're fully fine with you hating any tracker you want, but don't tell them to be quiet.
Right. Don't tell them to be quiet. All right, everybody. Have a good rest of your Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Is that what today is? And we will see you tomorrow on the download. And by the way, I think Speed Street just came out today.
Yep.
So I can't wait to, I haven't heard it. I'm going to go listen to that right now. Connor Daly, Joey Molinaro. And so do we got anything else to pitch right now? Hey, you should listen to Actions Detrimental if you haven't already.
I can't wait for that next episode.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, probably will be the top rated sports podcast this week. Thank you, NASCAR. All right. Take it easy, everybody.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.